I'm Katie McKinley, and you are listening to I Can Make That, Conversations with Creatives. I have been existing in a world of art, sewing, and other various forms of creativity my entire life. Along my crafty journey, I've collected quite the group of talented characters that I get to call my friends. Instead of keeping their wisdom and wit all to myself, I'm using this podcast to bring them to you. Behind every piece of art is a human being who went through a range of successes and failures in making and in life, and I'm here to share their stories. Welcome back to I Can Make That, Conversations with Creatives. Today's guest is honestly such an inspiration to me. She's proving that women deserve a place in the world of business and that you don't have to be cutthroat to be successful. Rebecca Page is the owner and designer behind a global direct-to-consumer startup aptly named Rebecca Page. Through her website, she offers a range of things from creative inspiration to fabric to online tutorials, sew-along summits, and of course, beautifully drafted beginner-friendly sewing patterns. Rebecca is such a positive person to have in your feed. Her energy is boundless, and her love and appreciation for everything and everyone she comes into contact with is so endearing. She's a designer, a businesswoman, a wife, a mother, and the owner of one of the best accents you'll probably hear on this podcast. I'm so excited to talk with her and learn more about her. So let's get to it. Welcome to I Can Make That, Rebecca.
Oh, thank you, Katie. I was like almost ready to cry. And then you cracked a joke about my accent and now I'm just going to be in giggles.
Well, you're not my first international guest, but you're my first with such a brilliant accent. So,
oh, thank you.
We can put you on the list for that. Well, let's get started with the easy stuff. What's your origin story? How did you get started sewing? What made you want to become a designer?
Yeah, so I started sewing when I was a kid. I don't know what made me want to start, but I decided about 7 or 8 that I was going to make my own wedding dress. And my mum was like, well, why don't we start with something a bit simpler? And like, you're not getting married anytime soon. So I can't remember what I started with, but I dove straight in the deep end and just started making complicated stuff for no reason at all. And my mum had this sewing techniques book. And so I just... After my first project or two, where my mum was like, you need to learn the basics, I just started at the beginning of the book and made all of the different things. Like there was the how to insert an invisible zipper, how to sew on a button, you know, all of that stuff. And I just followed every single tutorial and made this big, like, book of scraps of different things I'd tried. Yeah. And then what made me want to become a designer? So there's a program here called... So I'm a New Zealander, but I live in the UK, and there's a program here called the Great British Sewing Bee, and I applied to go on it just after we'd had our second child. She was like, I don't know, 3 weeks old or something when I applied, and I became the standby contestant. So it meant I had to do all of the challenges along with the people on the TV show. But behind the scenes, just in case anything happened and somebody couldn't like complete the filming. And luckily for all of them, nothing happened. But for me, I just decided I didn't want to, after maternity leave, go back to doing anything other than something really creative. And I, at the end, when I didn't get to go on the TV show, I was like, I'm just going to publish one of these patterns I'd made for my daughter. And I put it on Etsy and somebody bought it the same week. And then they posted this picture of their kid wearing, their little girl wearing this little dress thing. And I just melted. And I was just, I love this. I have to make more. And then I made more. And that was it.
It's almost like a drug, isn't it?
Yeah. And seeing the people and like, it's not just like seeing dresses how, or tops or trousers or jackets or whatever, how I imagined them. It's seeing them how they imagine them. And that's, it's so hard to explain, but seeing somebody who has a completely different body shape, a completely different look, a completely different style, making it their own is just, it's, it is like a drug. I'm just like, oh my God, I love it. I love you. I love you. I love you. And I need to see more. And I just, I stalk our customers in the nicest way in our Facebook group, just like loving on all of the stuff they do. It's just so fun.
Well, what was the, I need to know more about the Great British Sewing Bee, because I've seen clips of it, but I don't, being on part of like a reality TV show, but even in the background, just sounds like a fantastic experience. Was it life-changing?
Yeah, it was. And it was actually quite stressful at times. Like, I only ever sewed for my own enjoyment. And I had tried a few times making stuff to sell. And I just, some people are made for that and other people are not. And I found it so stressful, the concept of me trying to sew something or make something in a way that would be, in my mind, good enough for somebody else to use or have. And so I'd never experienced any kind of pressure around my sewing. As soon as I'd tried to make stuff for other people and then realized I just found it really stressful, I want to make stuff for my own enjoyment and love. And I might gift it, but to sell it, I just made me all kinds of anxious. And suddenly having this, like in the program, they have these challenges and they're time-based and you only get a certain amount of time to sew this Vogue pattern or this Butterick pattern or this indie designer's pattern. And it was really, I mean, this is years ago now, but like 10 years ago. But it was really time-based and I found it so stressful, but also like quite adrenaline rush and quite exciting. And then there were other challenges where you had to take a pre-made garment, like a big baggy shirt, and turn it into something else, or like a pair of pajamas and turn it into a wedding dress, with like those the craziest things. And so I got my friends to post me garments, because you don't find out what the garment is until like literally the challenge is starting, and it's like, take this and make it into that. So I got my friends to each pick something out of their wardrobe that they would otherwise just have donated or, you know, taken somewhere to recycle, to post me them. And I would open the package. And from the moment I opened the package, I then like practiced the making it into something random in half an hour. Really weird, really fun, really challenging, because I don't know. I know a lot about sewing stuff, but also I didn't think my skills in actual physical sewing were that strong at that point.
Well, I've watched shows like, what's it called on NBC, Make It, with Amy Poehler. And I just think how stressful it would be to be a part of that, because you can be creative and you get an inspiration and you do the thing. But then to like be forced to be creative, especially with a time constraint, or I feel like I would just have an emotional breakdown. I'm not sure. I would never go on one of those shows. I kudos to you, because it would take me out.
Yeah, it did me. I'd like to say I sailed through it. It was fine. I would have coped on the live TV really well. But I think it was the right call to have me on as the standby contestant. Sewing under pressure was not my forte. I love being on camera and talking. Like, I could have done that. Like, where's the host? Don't make me the contestant again.
I'm sure you would have done. I'm sure you did better than you are admitting to. Well, since the new year has turned over, I've been seeing you share a lot of these like manifesting your life posts. What inspired you to make these changes and share them with your followers?
Oh, thank you. Our social media has changed quite a lot since I started the company. When I first started it, it was just me, and I was sharing, you know, my kids' birthdays and what I was cooking and all of that in between sewing. And then as the company got bigger, we hired a marketing specialist, and she felt pretty strongly that we needed to make our social much more corporate feeling. It needed to be more professional and more polished. And in some areas, I think that's the right decision. But for us, it just didn't quite click. And I noticed people just weren't commenting as much, and it felt very salesy, and it just didn't really feel like me. And so we decided, no more of that. We're not going to do that anymore. And I'm just going to go back to sharing whatever's on my mind, like whatever's important to me right at this minute. And I feel really strongly about people taking whatever is in their life and looking at how they can creatively just be more happy and enjoy their life more. And when I think about sewing and crafting and making, it is that for me. It is, how do you take a piece of fabric and make it into something that brings you joy or brings someone else joy? And so I just decided I was going to start sharing anything in my life I'm doing where it is taking something and bringing more joy or having more excitement out of it. And my kids don't want to be on social media as much as they used to. They're getting a bit older, and I fully respect that. So if they don't want to be on, they're not going to be on it. And then, I don't know, the rest of my life isn't that interesting. You know, I make dinner, we eat it, I do the dishes, we don't have a dishwasher, it's by hand. You know, like, there's just not that much other interesting stuff I do. So I'm just trying to, you know, whatever I think I'm doing, I'm just going to share a bit more of whatever I think is not horribly boring. Hopefully people, it resonates. I want to inspire people to make more stuff, to live their lives more joyfully, more purposefully, whatever that means for that person. It's different for everyone. And that's what makes us all, you know, so unique and so wonderful.
Well, I think it's really authentic the way that you've been doing it too. So it's you've won me over with it.
Yay.
Now, you were selected as one of the 100 female entrepreneurs to watch back in 2021. And that's a huge accolade. Did being recognized for something as incredible as that open any more doors for you? What was that? What did that award bring to you besides, you know, being able to tell people you have this behind you?
That's a great question. It was really exciting to win, and I felt really honored to be selected for that. I don't know that it necessarily opened any more doors. It certainly gave me a lot more confidence in trying new things. And some of the new stuff that we've tried in the business just flat out didn't work. And then other stuff has opened whole new wonderful spaces to the business. So, and I think if I think back to how I was before then, I think I didn't necessarily have the confidence to just try stuff, and things are going to flop and things are going to do well. But if you don't try, you don't know what those things are. So it definitely gave me more confidence to try stuff. I don't know that it opened doors necessarily, though, but I don't know that I look at things like that. Like, I try really hard not to look at what other people are doing in the industry, particularly in the sewing and crafting world. And while I've got a whole lot of crushes on different designers and makers where I'm just like, I love this person, I love that person, and I just so excited seeing what they're making and doing, I also make a conscious decision not to watch the trends. And, you know, like, there's a lot of different t-shirt designs, for example, if you're going to talk about like garment design, and almost every designer has their version of that type of t-shirt or this type of t-shirt. And if you start to watch what all of the others are bringing out, a lot of us are making very similar things because we're going by the trends of whatever is fashionable at that point. And that's great. You want to have this massive selection from all of these designers and different fits and different styles so that as a customer, you can pick the designer whose instructions you love or the designer whose fit it just works for you. You don't have to adjust it because they design for your body type. And that's just, it's so awesome to have all of that out there. But I think if I sit and I watch what others are doing and I watch like kind of the results and all of that, it can just get like really in your head. And for me, it just messes with me. And so I try not to watch what others are doing and try not to watch what results I'm getting in quote marks and what things are coming in and all of that. I just try and live like, how can I best serve our customers? What brings me the most joy? What brings our team the most joy? What are our customers loving? What do I want to wear next month? That often impacts what we design.
I was just thinking, you're a bit more of a planner, aren't you? You actually plan out your designs pretty far in advance.
We do. We have anywhere between 6 and 18 months worth of patterns planned at any one time. It does change. I love making systems. Like, I really love systems. And so our whole pattern making process, the testing, the checking, the this, the that, like, it's all really well systemized. So it means that if we decide to make a change, we can do that quite easily because we just kind of take it out of the process and put something different in. But yeah, we do plan it out. And at the moment, I'm trying to plan my wardrobe for this year, like my personal wardrobe, and realizing, wow, actually, our pattern catalog has quite a lot of holes in it. Like, there's things that I would love to make that we don't have a pattern for. And in that situation, I'll happily buy someone else's pattern, support another designer and use theirs. But also, sometimes I want my take on it. You know, what's my take on this or that? So that definitely impacts as well what we're going to design. Where I'm thinking, we don't have that.
Well, you launched Rebecca Page Limited back in 2018. Is that correct?
Yeah, I was doing it as a hobby business for years before that, but it was April 2018 where it was like, let's make this a proper company. Let's do it.
Well, since then you've obviously grown and expanded from its original state of your, what you just said, a hobby company, and you've got what, like 30 employees spread out across the world. Can you talk about the strengths of your team and how you actually are able to manage such a global group of people that you work with on a daily basis?
Yeah, that has been a real journey. God, where do I start with that? So we were remote from before the pandemic, and there just weren't that great systems that I was aware of. I now know there was loads of softwares that were really wonderful, but because not a lot of companies were completely remote, it just was quite difficult to find what systems we were going to use to manage everything. So we've had to figure it out as we go. And then once the pandemic happened, actually, we've been able to streamline a lot of what we do because we've discovered much better processes for doing things as other people are, you know, grappling with the same problems that we'd had. But I have not exclusively, we have advertised a few times externally to the industry, but we have almost exclusively only hired people from within our customer base. And that has been a massive benefit in that they know what we do. They, on the whole, have a really good idea of the type of company we want to be. We have hired a few people outside, and I have to say, for some of them, we just didn't quite match, and they didn't quite get what we were trying to achieve. Oh, I don't know that I'm really answering your question. I'm just kind of talking again. We have team members from all over the world, the Philippines, the States, UK, Mexico. Oh my goodness, I'm blanking. Singapore, Brazil, like just New Zealand, Australia. Yeah, just so, so many countries. And the thing is when I look at where our customers come from, we're only about, I think, 40% US in our customer base. And then the rest is, there's a chunk from the UK and there's a chunk from like Australia, New Zealand, Canada. And then it's literally the rest of the world. And when you look at the rest of the customer base, it's like India, Singapore, Gambia, like all over the place. And that I think it's really benefited us having our team spread so globally, because they're able to help with like how we communicate in our marketing to attract customers from all different countries. Because I think like a New Zealander who lives in the UK, I have a weird mix of American and UK English. I think from my New Zealand heritage, and yet all of my reference points are the UK, and then I mix like different the metric versus imperial system. It's a mess if we just left it to me. We need people from different countries to help me be balanced and all of that.
With so many different time zones, have you ever had everyone on one call at once? Do you get together like
no.
that? No.
No.
It would be so hard.
We have this thread in our Slack about going to holiday somewhere exotic. And we want to, like, if we reach this target one day, we'd go and have this holiday with everyone. But then because we're all so spread out, my idea of what is exotic is completely different from someone over the other side of the world. And then there's like these really lovely, kind, happy, but heated debates about, no, this place would be better, this place would. And then we've just never actually set the intention of where we're going to go. But we will one day. We'll pick somewhere.
If only I could get on that invite list. That would be so fun.
Oh, we'd love to have you, Katie.
Speaking of being invited to things, a couple of times I've actually been invited to be an instructor for a few of your summits that you host. So they are, I feel like you can explain it a lot better than I can, so I'm going to give you the mic for that part. But you started offering and hosting summits to your community, and probably well outside of your community, where you have instructors that have specialties for, let's say, knitting or sewing or crochet or crafting. And it's massive and it's awesome. And I greatly enjoy doing it. So let's talk about it. How do you get that idea to get it off the ground? And what exactly is it?
So I had the idea for the summit on an aeroplane from the UK to New Zealand, where I went. It was, I can't even remember. It was like a year before the pandemic. So there was like, I just was able to get on a plane. And on that very long 26 and a half hour plane ride, I had the idea, and I basically was on airplane mode on my laptop, and I wrote everything that needed to happen. And then when I got to, I think it was a Hong Kong, my stopover, I then sent it to one of my team and I was like, can you make this into a web page and just like email this person and see whether they'd be interested? And by the time I landed in New Zealand, we had designers going, yes, yes, yes. And it was just the craziest thing. I was then like asleep for the next however many hours. And by the time I got to New Zealand, the first one was like already starting to be organized. What the summit is a 5 day long, they're usually 5 days long event, and for every 24 hours during that 5 days we have a different set of classes that are live for customers to watch. And so that way, no matter where you are in the world, you can watch some free classes that day, and then when you go back on the next day in your time zone, there's different classes, and there's usually between 30 or 40 classes over the 5 days. So and each class is, some of them are quite short, quick ones, like 10, 15 minutes, but usually they're between half an hour and an hour long. And there'll be a topic over the 5 days, like sewing or crochet or knitting or general crafting. We did a kids craft one once, paper crafts, embroidery. And the first one we did was sewing. And what we quickly found is people who sew often, not always, but often have other crafts they like doing as well, or they're interested in learning other crafts. So we try and have it mixed of beginner through to advanced, so it's kind of got something for everyone. And we try and use external designers and teachers and bloggers and just generally people in the industry as much as we can, rather than our own team, so that it's featuring different people and you're getting exposed to lots of different styles of doing things. We try really hard to get a mix of people from different countries. So sometimes when you come on, the teacher may not speak great English and there'll be subtitles on it. Most of the teachers do speak English though, but there are definitely some with subtitles. And we try and get a different range of styles and abilities. There's like, we have a checklist of everything we're looking for when we're looking for summit teachers. And if I could wave a magic wand, it would just be the most diverse set of classes we could humanly get into one group of people, because it's about being exposed to different things and learning new stuff. And that might be, you know, someone who just hand sews versus someone that just uses a serger or an overlocker. I desperately want to get a cover stitch class into one of them once, because I have one and I don't know how to use it. I know there are YouTube videos, but like, you know.
How many people usually log in and attend these, do you think, on average?
Oh, it really is quite varied. The smallest one we've ever done was about 8,000 participants, I think. And the biggest one we've done was 70 or 80,000 people, maybe. Yeah, it really does vary depending on the topic. The average is like 40 or 50,000 people, and they are from literally all over the world. I cannot describe how global the group of participants ends up being. We do have a VIP pass that the participants can purchase if they want to, so they can watch the classes anytime they want rather than just during the live week. And we always have some people that sign up for that. And the teachers are paid per class they teach. And then they also get a commission on the passes they sell for it. So it can be a great thing if you're someone who is a blogger or wanting to get into that to come and do as a teacher. And then as a participant, it's, if you want to see loads of different stuff, so fun. You have to be like ready to make a whole heap of stuff. You want to get your stash out, get your sewing machine ready, take notes, the whole thing.
And it's not just you doing it by yourself either, watching these videos. You've also created like a community on Facebook where people go and share what they've made or have questions about the specific classes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a whole encompassing event.
Yeah. And it's bigger than us now. Like, I don't really think of the summits as our thing. It's kind of, I think of them as the community thing. Like, it's the community makes these, and the people and the groups, and they're sharing, and we made this and we made that. And it's just, yeah, it's become a thing and it's fun. I love it. It's like got a life of its own now.
Do you sit in on and participate on some of the classes?
I do. Yeah. I just sit quietly there. I don't know. As soon as I start sharing on the Facebook group, it becomes about me. And it's not about me. And I just, we have WhatsApp and Slack amongst our team. And so I'll be sending them messages, look what I did. Or I completely failed at this one. I am not good at such and such. Yeah, so we share all of that. And that's fun.
Well, the obvious benefit of being a customer of indie businesses in the 21st century is that we live in this social media world. We aren't just like someone who puts out a product and people purchase from us anymore, where there's an entire customer facing element to it too.
Yeah.
And with that, we hold a lot of roles that might not have existed pre-social media. If you think about all of the positions that you hold within Rebecca Page, do you have a favorite part of your job?
That is such a good question.
All of it.
I love and I hate social media. I love how I can share the stuff that I'm doing and that's important to me and my creativeness on social media. And then I also hate how brutal it can be. And, you know, we've had criticism on different things in the past on social media. And it's just so heartbreaking when I know how hard the team has worked behind the scenes on something and we've fallen short, or, you know, we've done something and there's been a mistake in it, or the intention of what we were trying to do didn't get across, and or some people don't like a design of something we've done. And everyone can have opinions, and for sure, whenever we make mistakes, I'm a really big believer in you've got to walk the walk. And so, you know, I'm not going to shout about what we're doing to change something. But if we have a mistake, I'm going to go fix it. And if we've made a misstep somewhere, we're going to go try and rectify that. And it's so heartbreaking when you get criticism online. And I find that really difficult because I can be a really anxious person. And when I get criticism leveled at what feels like me personally, it's not necessarily me personally. It's, you know, we made a mistake in that pattern, or we did this, or we did that. It's not me personally that they're criticizing, but that is just like, it's gut-wrenching. I cry. I then don't want to post on social, and I just go into a hole, and I can get really anxious and down about that stuff. But on the flip side of it, social media is just so beautiful. You get to meet all of these people and see how they've made something their own and what brings them joy in their lives. And like seeing you on social, like I'm such a stalker of your social. I love you. And I'm just like, oh, look what you did. And everyone needs a Lily. and that's just so gorgeous. Yeah. And I think as well on social, a lot of the pattern designers get pitted against each other. And I just can't explain how much it's just not like that. Like, you know, Judy brings out a new pattern, Patterns for Pirates, Judy. And I'm just like, oh my God, I love it. And like, you know, I'm messaging Stephanie, who works for me, who's also pattern tested for Judy, going, have you tried this one? It's so lovely. And then somebody else brings out one. I'm like, oh my God, I love this. And it's, you know, we buy each other's patterns. Like it, we all use each other's patterns, almost all of us, and we chat, and some of us are on WhatsApp together. Not all of us, but a number of us, you know, really support each other. And it's a lovely community within the designers as well, because most of them are not here to take over the world. You know, we're here to spread some joy on the stuff we're doing.
Oh, absolutely. I think of it like, we have a part of our town that has a couple of breweries in it now. And some of the people that owned one of the breweries was very anxious or against having another brewery open next to them because they saw it as taking business away from them. But what I see it as, more people who love beer going to that area and trying different craft beer.
Yes.
So when you see more pattern designers open up, like, you're going to find Patterns for Pirates, but then being part of the community, you're naturally going to find Rebecca Page also. So it's just we all feed off of each other, and it should be this beneficial moment. And I think it's hard to see sometimes because you feel competition, but it really is like, we're really more a comrade party than anything.
It is. And if you look at the different things that different designers do, like they are so... Each designer has something that they are brilliant at, and then other things where they don't design as well. And I'm not going to list what mine are because it's just going to mess with my head and I'm going to get all anxious about it. But I know there's things we're not so good at, and we don't focus on those. But there are other designers who are brilliant at those. And when I want one of those patterns, I don't try and design it myself. I'm like, that person's already great. Let's just go buy theirs. And we don't try and put them on our website. We let that pattern designer do that. And one day I might expand my skill in that area and we might do our take on that. But for now, I'm okay with us being great at the stuff we're great at. And then, you know, well, you want that type of pattern? Oh, do you know so-and-so has one? Why don't you go check out theirs? And, you know, supporting that other person. Yeah, it doesn't have to be competition. I get it is competition, but at the same time, it doesn't have to be a negative thing.
Yeah, friendly competition is a real thing. We should embrace that.
Yes. And just supporting other people, you know, other people's dreams. And why can't everyone have their dream?
Right. Isn't there a saying about something about a candle? I'm going to completely botch it. Maybe I shouldn't try even saying it.
Give it a shot. You can always cut it.
Yeah. It's something about lighting someone else's candle doesn't dim your flame.
Yes. There's a Marianne Williamson quote, poem. Oh my gosh, I'm going to blunder it now as well. But like about shining your light and not, oh my goodness, you need to link to one of these poems or sayings. But there's a number of different people who have made really great quotes around that.
And neither of them were us.
Yeah, no, it would definitely not me. But I can link to one if you'd like me to.
Absolutely. How about we just share it instead of talking about it? Well, I am dying to know if you're able to share this with us. You seem to be a never-ending source of big moves. And I need to know, do you have any next big things that you want to share with us?
I do. So we have been, oh my goodness, it's taken maybe 2 years. But we have a membership on our website where you sign up for one monthly fee. There's a free version and a premium version. The free version has a limited number of patterns. The premium one has all of our patterns. So there's like 400 or 500 patterns in it. And in when you go into the pattern, you use the pattern on the platform. So it's like if you've ever done an online course and you work through the modules and you tick off each module as you do it, it's just like that. You download the pattern pieces, print them out just like normal, but the actual instructions are in this online area. And when you click to go to the next one, it takes you into the next one. You can zoom in on the pictures and flick through, and we can upload video. And it's interactive and online, and it brings tech to sewing in a way the industry hasn't really had before. And I'm so excited about it. It's like just the ease of sewing and making when you don't have to either print out and waste paper for instructions, and you don't have to balance your laptop next to your sewing machine if you're in a small space. You can just be on your phone and flick through each instruction and zoom in where you need to and follow the steps and jump ahead and all of those things. And I'm just so excited by it. And we've loaded all our patterns into it. And that has been years in the making, like years. And the feedback from customers is crazy. Like people are just, whoa, this is, instead of having a PDF and I'm trying to scroll in and it's pixelated, and then my phone, you know when your phone goes on standby or whatever it's called, you know, where the screen goes dark and then the PDF closes and then they're like, I've lost my place. None of that anymore. It's, you're just going through the steps, and it saves when you come out of the membership and then you go back in, it knows you're partway through that pattern. If you click on it, it goes straight to where you were up to. Super, super cool. Sorry, I'm waxing on. I'm just so excited by this. Anyway, what we're literally about to do, so hopefully by the time this podcast comes out, we are about to start inviting other pattern designers if they want to put their patterns into the membership as well. And not just the big, wonderful people whose names we all know and love, and we'd love to have those on, but also all of the little pattern designers, the ones that people don't necessarily know about. And the designer will get a percentage of the membership fees that come in according to, you know, how many times their patterns got used, etc. So from the designer's perspective, they get this ongoing revenue for patterns they're already selling and have released everywhere else. Like, it's just extra lovely revenue for them. And for the customer's perspective, hopefully we will get to the point where there are thousands of patterns in there and you're paying one monthly fee for access to all of these patterns, and the designers are getting paid every day on an ongoing basis. And so I'm hoping that we have set it up in a way where it's a win-win for everyone in the community, and it just encourages more people to make, more people to design the whole thing. Fingers crossed.
You're like the Apple Music of sewing patterns, right? Like you're putting
it
all in one.
Yeah, but where people actually get paid,
you
really
actually
well.
Get paid for it. Yeah.
Well,
instead of pennies per play.
we will see. It is in its infancy, so I can't promise everything is going to work and that it's going to be all, you know, slightly wonderful yet. It is definitely still, like, we have designer full time who is constantly tweaking and fixing things as we find errors with it, and like, you know, we need to improve this bit, and customers are finding this bit irritating, and we need to change that. And it is definitely a work in progress. You're coming into something in the early stages, but the great thing about that is the people who are signing up as members and who hopefully will be just signing up as designers, it's like being in the infancy of something where you get to then have a say on how it grows. So I'd like to think one day it'll be like Apple Music. just not yet, and hopefully we can keep the spirit of it as it gets bigger.
Well, it sounds like it's almost a sew along for each pattern.
Yeah, except at your own pace, so you can like with the sew along, one of the things, I mean, I love sew alongs, but one of the things I find frustrating about it is either it's a blog or it's a video, and it's hard to skip ahead. And then you don't know where you're going to skip to, whether you've gone past the bit you wanted. And so there's just a bit more visibility. But that said, we are trying to then also, the moment we're testing, putting our own sew-alongs into the membership so that people can use it a bit like a class system as well, like a course kind of thing.
It's hard to believe that this didn't stem from your summit idea too. It seems like you had an idea on a plane, you created a summit course situation, and here you are building this mecca. It's pretty cool.
Well, I have to say it was more of a bottle of wine than it was an airplane. I was sitting outside, it was a nice evening, I had a bottle of wine, me and one of my team members were chatting on WhatsApp, and then suddenly there was this whole idea, and then it's taken years to get a developer, to be able to afford to have a developer. Like, the cost on making something like that is just crazy, and I can see why it hasn't been done before, because it was hard making it. But equally, every other industry has really cool tech. Why can't we?
Right. No, that's brilliant. I'm excited. I've actually been on the Paris party dress. I pulled that up the other day.
I haven't
sewn it yet, but I went and saw it on your new system, and it is really, it's pretty inventive, and
yay.
To see more people part of it, that's really exciting.
Oh, thank you. Anytime anyone says Paris party dress, I get flashbacks to the testing of that. It's a it's a top and a skirt, and the skirt has got pleats, and we had such a wonderful, amazing variety of testers, and they were so patient with me because my maths on the pleats were just horrific, and I don't know how many iterations we went through to get it so that it actually came out to precisely the right measurements, but that tested me. I love it. It's one of my most favorite patterns because we put so much effort in, and it's a free one. But holy moly, that was, that testing was something else.
It is shout out time, Rebecca. I am a big fan of sending love to as many people as we can on here. And I'm wondering if there's anyone in particular right now that you love to follow and draw your creative energy from that can get a little shout out on this podcast.
I do. I love that you do this. So I am just starting to get into TikTok. And I love it. It's so creative. And it's really, I just find it really fresh. And I know there's loads of different people who do different TikToks. And there's an amazing sewing and making community on there. I highly recommend you get into the sewing and making community on there. There's a person called Kat Makes. And I think she's Makes with a Z on the end of it. But Kat does forensic sewing. She calls it forensic sewing TikTok, and it's where she will look at a celebrity dress and she'll break it down how it's been made. She also does tempore, I never know how to say that, embroidery, which is just like, my mind is boggled every time she does it. So highly recommend her. And then I have a couple of general non-makers that I'm obsessed with at the minute for different reasons. There is a person called Alethea Francis Crimmin, and Cute Les Bean is the username. And the description on Alethea's profile is your neighborhood hype girl and hashtag pimpin' positivity. And Alethea gets on and says things like, hey, you're wonderful, you're amazing. And I just binge them. I'm just like, I could watch these all day. Whenever I'm down, lifts me right up. And then I'm obsessed with Stephen Bartlett at the moment. I know that he's been around forever doing loads of different business stuff, but like learning about different ways of tech stuff, different business thinking, any kind of business stuff. I'm just obsessed with him at the moment. And then the last one is Christy N. Cole, who is like crafty maker DIY, just so inventive with the stuff, like the decor and the DIY and recipes. And I'm like, I have this vision of this me baking every day and, you know, doing Valentine's decor and Halloween decor. And then I just binge Christy's content. And then I realize that I just don't have the time to do any of that, but I really enjoy watching what Christy does. those are my shout outs. Some of the big creators, Kat is smaller. So if you can support any of them, go for it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I'm going to get all of those handles from you and so we can link them in your blog post.
Great, because I totally butchered how to say any of their names. I'm sorry.
It's tried. How I function also. I can't pronounce anything, so.
I try, and then my kids make fun of me because of my accent. Like when my youngest is learning to read at the moment, and she's like, Mommy, that's not how you say it. I'm like, no, but I am saying it how you're trying to say it. It's just what Mommy sounds like.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Rebecca. You're such an inspiration, and I'm honored that you were able to make some time for me and be on my little show.
Oh, thank you so much. I absolutely love you, Katie. I'm so delighted you asked me. Thank you.
And for everyone listening, thank you for joining us for today's episode of I Can Make That Conversations with Creatives. And now, Rebecca, please take us out by telling us how to find you online so we can support you, your family, and your entrepreneurial adventures.
Oh, thank you. So my website is rebecca-page.com. And if you go on there and you click on the membership or subscription, it will take you to RP Makers, where you'll be able to sign up for the free membership and give that a try. Or if you want to go for all of the patterns and all of the content, then there's a premium option as well. And on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, search Rebecca Page. I'm either Rebecca J Page or Rebecca Page Official, depending on how quickly I got on and saved my handle. And I would love you guys to, if anyone would like to try our free membership and give this new way of working through a pattern a try, I would absolutely love you to go on and give that a shot and see how you find that and send us your feedback, because we are like improving it and changing it, and we are literally taking what customers say and going, oh, that is a fantastic idea. Let's add that feature. Let's add that feature.
Well, I will be sure to link all of these socials and websites and everything in your blog post also. Thank you so much for everything.
I really loved this. Thank you so much.
Thank you for tuning in to I Can Make That, Conversations with Creatives. Transcripts from this episode, along with links and more information about today's guest, can be found at www.wildandwonderful.com. See you next time.